reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first scripture reading is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. And we read verses 1 through 13 and verse 46. It's found on page 69. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." And continuing at verse 46, "It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. This is the word of the Lord." Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. And we read verses 28 through 37. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, 'I thirst.' A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for tonight, and in particular, these words of John. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. But these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. This is our text. One of the things that often cause us to feel a sense of awe and wonder is when we finally see the relationship between small things and big things. For instance, someone buys you a 10,000-piece puzzle and throws it on your kitchen table. And you sit there and look at it. I mean, how many of you do puzzles? Okay. I don't do it. I mean, I sit there and I look at all those pieces scattered out there and I just go, eh. But some people are fascinated by that. And they sit, and over time, they take all those little pieces of those puzzles and they put them together. And finally, one day, they put that little last piece in, and this beautiful picture emerges. And they stand back and they look at it and they go, wow. But there's another kind of awe and wonder regarding the relationship of big things and small things. Sometimes small things cause huge disasters. For instance, World War I, war lasting for years. Well over 2 million people died. So many others, tens of millions perhaps, wounded and scarred, or simply dying from disease and pestilence. All because of a wrong turn. You say, how could a wrong turn do that? Well, you see, there was a attack on the life of Archduke Ferdinand, whose death resulted in the war starting. But he survived that first attempt. And he was so thankful for some of the people who were wounded in that attempt and tried to help him that he wanted to visit them in the hospital. And on the way to the hospital, the driver took a wrong turn and ended up driving down a street where one of the people who had tried to kill him was sitting having a drink in a pub. And he saw the Archduke driving by him again, took his gun back out, killed him. World War I resulted. All because of a wrong turn. Big things and small things. One bite of an apple, or whatever fruit that was in the midst of the garden. One little sin. And look at the disaster that is brought upon the world. And don't begin to think that your sins aren't the same. Oh, we think of them as small. As something that's not going to really hurt someone. And then someone takes a brief glance at a cell phone, perhaps, while driving. Something they've done 1,000 times before with no ill result. And the family is destroyed. One little glance has such huge consequences. It is our little sins, the things that we like to justify, the things that we think are of no consequence, that brought about the crucifixion of the Son of God. God Himself, the Creator of the universe, or King of the universe, as we like to address Him in the Passover prayers, has to leave His heavenly throne, take on our frail human flesh, go to the cross, suffer, and die. All for those things we think to be so little. John is the lone apostle at the foot of the cross with Jesus. And he's watching Him, His Lord, His Savior, His friend, suffer enormously and die. It is for our sins. But as He is watching these events unfold, it's like He sees the pieces of a puzzle finally coming together. Pieces, if you will, that were constructed over thousands of years. When I read Exodus 13:46 earlier, you probably didn't hear it as a prophecy. It was just one of those little regulations about the Passover lamb. Interestingly, it's that lamb alone for which that little regulation is in place. You can break the bones of all the other lambs that are offered in sacrifice. There's no regulations about how you kill them and whether or not bones get broken. For the Passover lamb, that lamb, no bones may be broken. He watches all the events and probably notes the time as well. What Jesus has put on the cross, it ends up being the same time that they're offering up the morning sacrificial lamb at the temple. One of the daily regulations, all 7 days of the week, they had to fulfill. When they go to get the second lamb for the daily offering, darkness comes over the face of the earth. It must have seemed strange to the people in Jerusalem. They're bringing more lambs to the temple for sacrifice. Blood is flowing freely. It's those Haggigahs we talked about. But with the strange darkness, there's probably no rejoicing going on. They just silently offer their lambs in sacrifice to God. And then they're bringing the final sacrifice for the day, about the ninth hour. After that, the temple's doors will be closed and all sacrifices will cease. And it's right about that time that Jesus cries out, "It is finished." He's seeing all these sacrifices, all as part of a piece of a puzzle, pointing to something much larger than any single piece can tell. And then he sees the soldiers go to the first thief on the cross and break his legs. And then they see him go to the second thief on the cross and they break his legs. And then they come to Christ and they stop. And maybe at that point in time, he's thinking of those words of John the Baptist that he cried out some 3 years earlier, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And they don't break his legs. They thrust a spear into his side. Blood and water come out. It's like the blood and the water that are flowing down at the temple. And more little pieces come into his mind. That odd little regulation about the Passover lamb, the one that saved the children of Israel from death. Not one of its bones will be broken. And another scripture leaps into his mind, and they will look on him who they have pierced. And he sees the picture coming together. All the little pieces neatly fitting into their precise spot, just as God had designed it thousands of years ago. Before the foundations of the world perhaps were laid. And certainly, when Adam and Eve had fallen into sin. And as he sees the puzzle coming together, you can hear the awe and the wow in his words. "He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may also believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken." And then again another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." Behold, the Lamb of God, the one unto whom all Scripture, as Jesus himself said, points. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice," was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.